Hello, everybody. Episode 2. We made it. This is the second episode of Vines to Wines. And in this episode, I'm sharing another conversation that I had with the winemaker at Van Arnam Vineyards, Brandon Seymour. In this episode, we're talking about Tempranillo. So if you've ever wondered where Tempranillo comes from or what makes it so special, then stay tuned. I'm joined here with Brandon Seymour.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in, Brandon. What is going on at the winery? It's May. What's been new recently?
So we're going to be planting some Tempranillo out here, and I'm going to be running some catch wires and doing the drip lines, and hopefully in a few years we'll be able to produce our estate Tempranillo, and everything will be able to be controlled quality-wise by us, and then that's, you know, the best way for us to squeeze the most quality out of everything that we do.
That's great to hear. I understand you have some wine that you're entering into a competition. Is that correct?
Yep. I just entered in the 18 Reserve Syrah, the 18 Reserve Malbec, and the 18 Reserve Cab.
Wow, that's a mouthful. What competition is that?
That's the Cascadia Wine Competition. It's an international wine tasting competition, so it's pretty awesome. We just came out with a gold for the 18 Syrah, and we're still waiting back on the Cab and the Malbec to be judged.
Oh, so. Congratulations. That's really cool.
Thank you.
So you said you're planting Tempranillo. That is our topic of today. I just want to ask from you, why do you like Tempranillo? What's special about it? And you can share some of the things that you've already shared with me before we were recording.
So yeah, it's definitely an exotic varietal. And I really enjoy getting to make wine with something that's a little bit different. Because sometimes when you're just making wine with the noble five vines of Bordeaux, you get a little bit a little bit bored with them. And it's not to say that they're not delicious wines. It's just, I think that the market is constantly searching for something interesting. Yeah. So that's where, you know, Tempranillo is kind of one of the hot items. It's coming up and it's starting to make its way into everybody's cellars.
So you mentioned the five wines of Bordeaux. For a layman like me, what are those five wines? And so my understanding is that Tempranillo is more of an up-and-coming wine, not included in the traditional
right.
five.
Yep. So Tempranillo is a Spanish varietal, and the five noble vines of Bordeaux come from Bordeaux, France. So they are Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Malbec, Merlot, and Petit Verdot. And we actually don't grow Petit Verdot out here.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that much.
Funny story. We planned on planting it out here. It was such a hard varietal to find. We ended up deciding that, you know, maybe we're going to plant some Tempranillo first, and then as soon as we can find some Petit Verdot, we'll get some of that planted.
Yeah.
But then another varietal that we have is Syrah, which is a Rhone varietal. It's which is why the bottle's different. It's from a different region, more southern region
in France, right?
In France, yeah.
Yeah, so you're just telling me about planting Tempranillo. What's the timeline? I know Tempranillo here at Van Arnam Vineyards doesn't sit in the barrels the same amount of time as some other wines. Maybe you can take listeners through from planting to bottling of the Tempranillo specifically.
Yeah, so we've only bottled one Tempranillo so far, and it didn't sit in, we bottled all of it before 2 years, and we had such a high demand for the wine to be released. Every time it was being tasted, people were just really trying to buy futures of it, and we gave the people what they wanted, and we bottled it and put it out in the wine club, and it also sold out within about 6 to 8 months or so, and it's completely gone, and it got 3 gold medals. And
so that was the first time we bottled it.
Sounds
like it went well.
That was the first time we bottled it.
But now we're planting it. And how long does it take from planting it until you're ready to harvest it?
So it takes about 3 to 5 years. So in that range, there's a lack of volume of grapes that you're going to get
right
in that time period. And about after 5 years, I'd say you're going to start getting close to what is a full harvest quantity wise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first couple of years you're probably going to get like 25, then 50%, and then up from there it'll take a few years to get the ball rolling on that. But in short, we are going to have an estate Tempranillo here pretty soon, and we're really excited about that. And
are you planning to do what you did the first time when you bottled, where it'll only barrel for 1 year?
So it went in for 2 years. It was normally what we find ourselves doing is as we release new wines and we sort of fine tune our labels, we find ourselves sort of going through our quantity pretty quickly. So that's where we have to decide, what are we going to bottle? What are we going to bottle it as? What are we going to set aside for the grand reserves, which are 40 months in the oak? So it gets a little complicated there, but okay. The idea is 2 years in oak. But when you're using 100% new oak, sometimes you run into the issue of the wine having too much oak in it. So that was something we wanted to prevent with the Tempranillo. It was delicious, but it definitely had enough oak influence in it. So that's where we really made the decision to just bottle it, and it was a beautiful wine, and
yeah,
we can't regret anything that we did on it.
You're talking about the taste. What is it about Tempranillo what does it taste? What's its specific taste like? What's its flavor profile and all of that?
So the flavor profile ranges from fruity to sort of more on the spice side of things. Right. So like allspice, clove, cardamom, and then you're going to get some of that plum, fig, overripe fruit. I feel like what helps Tempranillo is that typically you get these wines that like to age because they have the good acidity backing, but they also they've got pretty good phenolic structure as well.
Now what's a phenolic structure?
So basically just the anthocyanins are the color compounds that make the color.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a phenolic. And then you also have tannin, which is also a phenolic. Those are like the most common phenolics. And they're also antioxidants. And they basically are they're compounds that help with aging, with longevity.
It's like the chemical makeup that makes the wine unique. Something like that.
Somewhat, yeah. It's sort of the composition of different compounds that are floating around in there, that different proteins and different nutrients that add longevity and structure to the wine and give it more mouthfeel, more flavor. The combinations of evaporating smells are what are creating the esters. So that's what's really creating that bouquet.
Mm.
And so that's sort of how red and white wine differ. They both are going to have esters, but they're just influenced differently by different smells.
I'm getting flashbacks to high school chemistry with esters. How hot of a wine in terms of alcohol is Tempranillo?
So it will usually range. Our Tempranillo was around 13.5. It also isn't uncommon out here to see any red get up to about 14 to 15. So, but I would say that the general norm is 13.5 to 13.7.
That sounds about average with what I would expect.
Mm-hmm.
What do you pair Tempranillo with? Cause I know there's a whole community of people that pair wine with food. What would be your recommendation?
Definitely a rack of lamb.
Interesting.
It goes really well with Greek food, with tzatziki sauce, with that, because they're one of those wines that have a good fruity medium full body to them, but they're also you could drink them on their own and they stand up, so they're not overly offensive. You don't have to pair anything with them, but they're definitely something that goes really well with a nice steak or with a rack of lamb.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, Tempranillo, it's funny. It's a very expensive wine over in Spain. I mean, there was this huge scandal. I'm not sure when, maybe I can find it on here, but there's this huge scandal where somebody was taking the bottles that are wrapped in like a gold net on the outside. And then they have like a wax seal on top, and people were opening them up and taking the wine out and then filling them back up with regular, probably Chilean wine.
Where is this?
And recorking it and re-waxing it. Yeah, this was somewhere, some exporter person who was doing this. And then
people notice? Like,
people started noticing. Yeah, after a while.
That is.
After they opened up these prized bottles after many years, and they were like, there's no way is right.
I really hope one person was like, wow, this is so good.
Yeah, hopefully for their wallet. Yeah.
That's crazy. So yeah, talking about the origin and history of Tempranillo, it is from Spain and it's a very old wine. I was looking up some fun facts about different wines, and this might be true for most wines, but Tempranillo is older than Jesus. It is many thousands of years old, and it comes from the Iberian Peninsula in Spain. I'm assuming that the climate that best suits Tempranillo is similar to other red wines that we grow here.
Yep.
Maybe you can, what is that climate just for people tuning in?
So, you know, here we have a lot of different soil types. For us specifically, it's volcanic, sort of that clay organic soil. So, you know, pretty much anything is going to do well growing here, whether or not it's going to represent it well in the tannin structure, you know, is one thing. But I think the Tempranillo is represented pretty well out here. It gives it a really nice, round, soft tannin feel to it, you know, normally where we can find it. With our soils, I find that we have more robust tannins with the volcanic soils. So, you know, when we grow our Tempranillo, our estate Tempranillo, I feel that, you know, we might have a little bit more unique terroir coming off of it. So it might just,
what
have,
is that?
So the terroir is basically the everything down to the farming, the pruning, the climate. So the specific year when it was harvested.
It's just like an all-encompassing term.
All-encompassing term.
What the wine was, like the situation that the wine was made in.
Yep, a qualitative term, I would say. It's something that is all-encompassing quality, basically saying.
I like that word. What, terroir?
Terroir.
That's a great word. I'm going to start
using terroir that. Is how the French say it.
I really like that word. That's the word of the day, terroir.
Terroir.
You were mentioning the funny situation in Spain with the switching out of the expensive Tempranillo with the cheap one. So is Tempranillo typically a high-end wine?
It is, yeah. And, you know, there's certain, you know, Tempranillo is the only one that was actually put in those types of enclosures. So with the gold net on them.
Yeah. Where do you see Tempranillo going and for the future in this valley? Do you see it just becoming more popular?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I see, you know, it becoming exactly up there with Cab, Malbec, Syrah. And I feel like it's going to be a fair contender in the varietal market that you can get your hands on here in the Yakima Valley.
I definitely am excited to see how that plays out. Brandon, thanks for talking.
You're welcome.
Yeah, if you want to buy our wine, it's vanarnvineyards.com, and stay tuned for more podcasts.